It's great to be back with you again. Yes, we are still missionaries in Eastern Europe. And what we do now is we live here in the States in a house that we purchased in 1999. And when we went over there, Daryl said, we're going to keep that house. That's going to be our retirement home. And so we've kept it all this time, and we are back in that house again. But we spend 3 months a year or a little bit more in Eastern Europe. We'll be heading back again the end of August. We'll be all of September and into October. But one of the cool things that God is doing, and I'm just so excited how God has provided for you and your need here with the air conditioner, God is our provider. And in so many ways, we miss the little things that he provides for us. And I know in my own life, God has provided healing, emotional healing, physical healing, and he also provides in material ways. Daryl has written 2 books, and they're back on the table back there. The one he wrote about 10 years ago, the small, thin one on part of Revelations, of the 7 churches of Revelations, and we had it translated into Polish and into Russian, and they've been distributed all over those countries. And then the Lord told him to write a 2nd book, and it took a long time, but one week when we were over in Poland, just God really spoke to him, and he began to write and write and write, and he finished that book. And that one is on leadership, and it's based on the fruit of the Spirit and how do we lead out of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. But this is a much thicker book, and we thought we want to get it published in Polish and Russian, but we don't have the money to do it. So we said, Lord, if you want this book in Polish and Russian, you're going to have to provide the funds. So we went to a Polish church, and Daryl preached, and they gave us a big, thick envelope afterwards. Now, you have to understand that in Poland, they don't give an honorarium every time somebody comes in to speak. It's very few and far between that you will get something for speaking. And so we took it back to the house where we were staying, and when we opened it up and looked, it was the exact amount of money that the Polish translator said he needed to translate that book into Polish. So Daryl called him up and said, Andre, I have the money. You can begin the translation. We can't publish it yet, but we can get it translated. A couple weeks later, we went to another church. Now, this church often gives us an honorarium, but this time it was doubled. And the extra amount that they gave was what we needed for the printing of the book. So we were able to publish it and print it, and it is now sitting in Poland waiting for us to distribute when we come back in September. And then we were like, okay, Lord, to get it translated into Russian is going to be even more expensive because the girl that we really wanted to do it lives in Canada, and the cost of living there is a lot more than when she used to live in Ukraine. And so it's like we knew this was, and God provided the funds for that. And then we're like, now how are we going to get it published into Russian? Because Amazon, which we use to publish his books here in the States, would not do a Russian letter, word, print, whatever. For some reason, they won't do Russian. So we're like, how are we going to get it? And God opened a way for us to find a publisher in Moldova who printed it. It's actually waiting for us when we get to Moldova to pick up and hand out. So God is so good, and he provides for all our needs.
Just as an intro to what I want to speak about, and I need Joyce to help. We had this experience when we were traveling several months back when we arrived in Poland. I'm going to be on this for now.
Okay.
You're on this. When we arrived in Poland, we had, you know, you travel all the night. You don't sleep very much on the plane. When you arrive, of course, you're very tired. We rent apartments, and those apartments are kind of like your Airbnb here, but we use a different system. And so we go to the apartment. We have the information on the phone telling us how to, you know, key in the code and enter the room, right? So now, can you tell the story?
So we get to the door of the apartment, and there is no key, like code box on the door. There's not even a knob or a handle to open the door. There's a hole, and a hole. And we're like, how do we get into this place? Daryl calls. Oh, you're early. Yes, we know we told you we'll be early. Well, the maintenance man is fixing it. He should be there. And we see this man coming down the hall. So he speaks a little bit of English. And he's like, oh, it'll be a few minutes. I need to do some work. We're like, okay, we'll go eat. Can we just put our bags inside the apartment? So he has a way. He opens it. We put the bags in. He's now going to fix it. And we can get in when we come back. So we come back. Now there's a key box on the door. We get the key out. There's a key slot, but we can't turn the key enough to actually unlatch the door to get it open. Call the maintenance guy back. He comes back. What's the problem? It's like, it doesn't work. Daryl tries. I try. He's on the phone in Polish. They're old. They're weak. We understand Polish. He doesn't know that. And we're looking at each other like, yeah, right, okay. So he puts some oil in the thing, and then we could just make it work that we could get. And we are exhausted, and we're like, we just want to lie down. We just want to get in. So we go in, close the door, turn around. How do we get out? There's no knob. There's nothing. And the keyhole on the inside has a plate across it. You can't get the key all the way in to open it to even get out with the key. Again, on the phone. You know who I am by now, you know. Maintenance guy comes back, uses a screwdriver from the outside hole, unlatches it, comes in, and he looks at it. And we're like, we're out of here. We shook our bags. We are out. We go out. We close the door. Now he's on the inside. Next thing you know, pound, 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 pound. Let me out! Let me out! So he sticks the screwdriver through the hole, and Daryl gets it and uses the instrument to open the door and get out. We were, needless to say, looking for another apartment.
Do you still need me?
No. I'm going to switch over. Yeah, so that was the beginning of that trip, and I'll just shorten that story to say that after that visit, the next place we went, we had another door issue, and we had another one after that again, and another one again, and another one again. And so in the, 5 weeks, we had probably 5 different door issues. And so we begin to think, you know, after repetition, you begin to think, maybe God is talking here about doors. And we started to pray about that, and we're still actually in process praying about that as to what those doors are for us and what he's saying. But I came to the scriptures to really understand what doors are about. And as I was looking at it, I realized there's something in there for every one of us that we can get, you know, some information about doors in our own personal lives. But to begin, I want to read from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and following, probably to 13, maybe not. 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, you've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Now, it goes on to talk about what's going on and the evil around them, but the point of this passage really, I think, is to focus in on, he who has the key of David, that Jesus is holding the keys, and he is the key. And everything about life has to do with him being the key concerning the doors in our lives. And so what is a door? You know, that passage does not really define what is the open door. I think it doesn't really say that, but I think there's a lot of clues in Scripture that comes to us about what doors are about. Ultimately, the key and the door point to the authority of Christ over us and in our lives, and then the one who holds the key of David as granting access to a new Jerusalem. So that's the eternal purpose of the keys here. That's the door we're really looking for. But we're not there yet, but we're looking toward that. And only Christ opens that door for us into eternity. But in the immediate context, the open door carries different layers of meanings when we look through the Scriptures. A door of missionary opportunity is possible. Christ himself is the door. He's also a key. And then there's the messianic glory, that future entrance into the eternal kingdom. There's an open door for that as well. But open doors illustrate something to us. They always represent an opportunity, an entrance into something else, the heart being open to something, and victory that's ahead for us. So closed doors will often represent the opposite of closed opportunities and closed hearts and closed heavens for us. So the corporate door, there is a door that is not just about one of us as a believer, but there's a corporate door. That is a door that's open to all of us as a church, as one congregation. There's a door that may be open corporately to a body of Christians in a region. So there are various kinds of doors that are represented in the Scriptures, but Jesus holds the keys to the doors for the church. Now, an open door is for all of us corporately a call to obey God. An open door is a call to be obedient to Christ and go forward into what he's calling to for us to do. So when we think of that corporately as a church, when there's an open door, it requires all of us to come to agreement and move into an obedience to what God is calling us to. The church's faithfulness is revealed then by how we respond to God. So if you're faithful, you're responding. If you're not being faithful, you don't want to respond, right? So that's what faithfulness is about. It's doing the thing that God's calling us to do. And then those corporate doors, they are unique in each local setting. So the door for you as a church will not necessarily be the open door of another church. It's your door, and it's what God's calling you to. And then the opportunities are tailored to what God is doing among you already. So there's a work of God going on in you. The door fits what he's doing already in us. And we can move through the door because of what God is doing in us. And then those church must listen very carefully to understand where the doors are. It's in Revelation, it talks about, you know, let's hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So each one of our congregations, we need to hear what the Spirit is saying, because that allows us to understand the door for us, which may not be the door for another church. And we have to be sensitive to the Spirit to catch what the Spirit is saying to us. Now, open doors often are revealed also by the level of acceptance of your ministry to people around you. Sometimes the door is not open yet because the people are not receiving it yet. And we need to identify that maybe it's not quite effective or it's not time yet. But if we look at what the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8, "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost." Why? "Because of a great door for effective work has opened to me. But there's still many who oppose me." But he said, there's been effectiveness here. The message is getting through. So the door's opening. And Paul saw that door and he said, I want to keep going through that. So I want to stay here a little longer so that the door will open up even more. An open door reveals not just by your inner conviction, but it's revealed by what's going on outside of you, how people are receiving it yet. There's some key insights there that Paul can share with us. The fruitfulness is a sign of an open door. Acceptance does not mean the absence of opposition, and effectiveness is evidence of God's timing. Then there are doors for specific ministries. Or we could say there's doors for specific people that we're called to. And the people you're called to may not be what another church is called to. And you have a door for that specific people. As compared to ministry in general that all churches have to do, but you may be called to a specific ministry to specific kinds of people. Now, if you're traveling internationally and doing mission work, you understand that culturally you're stepping into another culture that's a people group, and you actually recognize that now that door is open for you because God called you into it and you go there. But if you're staying here in this context of the States and you're saying, we just live here, we work here, now what is that? Well, there are still groups of people in which are different from another group, and God can call you into that group. He opens a door and says, that group is for you to help. You will touch their lives. You will bring the gospel into their group, and they will change. They'll be transformed. They'll become believers. They may not necessarily become another kind of people group. They will be who they are, but you will have an open door there. So those kind of doors are very, very different than other doors that's open to every believer. These are doors that God says, here. So Acts chapter 14, verse 27, and this is about the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. On arriving there, they gathered the church together, and they reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So he has gone outside of the religious people of his day into another group of people, which is the Gentile people, not the Jewish people whom they had been working with, but now to the un-Jewish people. And he's moved into a new group. And that highlights to us that the door opens specifically to a people group that was not open before. This is a moment when God granted the apostles that unique opportunity to reach into the Gentile world, which wasn't happening really at that point. It is not a general wide open door for all other apostles necessarily, but Apostle Paul and a few others were being called into go that door. So this door opens in greater measure at certain times. That door that goes to a people group may not be open widely yet, but could be later open up. And we see that because the Apostle Paul says the door of faith has opened up. So there's a widening because God giving faith. God may open doors for individuals that are not open to anyone else but you. Maybe it's only your church. Maybe it's only you as an individual that has that door open, and God is opening up that door for you. Doors can also be opened by prayer. Some doors are waiting for your prayers. Colossians 4:4-2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in chains, Paul says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He says, pray with me. I'm praying. Pray with me, that the door will open, that the gospel can be proclaimed. Open the door by your prayers. Paul makes it very clear that prayer is not just the preparation for opening the door, but prayer sometimes creates an open door. Your prayers for people, out of a genuine care and a genuine compassion for them, can sometimes open a door for you that wasn't open yet. You've only been praying for those people. You may not have had opportunity. You may not have an openness with them. They may be even resisting you yet. But sometimes your prayers are what's needed to allow the door to begin to open again. Where you were seeing just through the crack of what God could use you for, and now it begins to open. But I want to caution also. There are doors that may get open in front of you that's not always God's will for you. It may not be for you. It may not be the time for you. It may even not be God's door. Sometimes an open door is just a distraction. So be careful with that. Paul had an open door in Troas, yet he chose not to stay. He acknowledged that God had opened the door of the ministry for those in Troas, but actually felt that God was saying, don't stay there. Don't keep going through that door. Was the door open? Yes. But God was leading Paul away from that door. So yet, he discerned that he was not meant to be there any longer. Sometimes God allows a door to open, but his will is found not just in will we go through it, but will we obey him to walk away from it? Because he may have something else for us. And we can get focused on a door, we can get stuck there, and not realize God is saying, move to another door. So we need to be careful about that, because sometimes it shows us that God's will is never just about productivity. It's about people. It's about his love for people. When we moved down from Canada, my wife and I, we lived in Canada. We were pastoring churches there for some years. And when we moved down from Canada, we realized that God was moving us here. And sometimes God uses the relationships around us to help us to understand the door we should go through. We had a wide open door where we were. We had good ministry going there. But there were things that were going on, and there was an invitation here to come. There was also, as some of you know, my wife's mother's illness had been set in very much at that time. And because of that, there was also a feeling in our heart that we need to move closer this direction. And we should not downplay the things around us, the people around us, who can help us to understand the door for now. That door was opening for us. And had we not listened to that and gone through that door, we would not be here. I would not be doing what I do. And I would not have been traveling around the world. All those things opened up because of one door we moved into after we decided God was saying, step out of this one and go to that one. Be alert. Be alert. Because sometimes doors are shutting, and you want to go through them before they shut. There are opportunities in front of us, and when that door is open, if you have heard the will of God is saying go through it, you need to go. Go through that door. Matthew 25 and 10, but while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And verse 11, later the others also came. Sir, they said, open the door for us. And he said, I cannot. The door was shut. When you see the bridegroom going, move with him. When you see a door opening, go through it. The wise virgins had entered because they were ready, because they were responsive, because they were willing in their heart to go in at the right time. When the Lord steps through the door, his presence going there, there's a timing that we're aware of. We go with it. We follow him and we follow his presence and we go through the door and we want to be right behind him, not lingering too far back and not hesitating to go through the door, because if we miss it, we miss it. The door closes. The presence of the Lord is going ahead and we may be still back here thinking to ourselves, I think maybe I should now go there. But yet we can miss the presence of the Lord and the will of the Lord. Procrastination, rebellion, even our own pride can keep us from going through the doors. Self-sufficiency, that can keep us out of following the timing of the Lord, and the attitudes that dull our senses. Rebellion says, I'll do it in my own way. I'll go another way, not that door. And sometimes we say, well, I'll obey later. Right now, I don't feel like that. And our pride sometimes says, I don't need to prepare. I'm ready. I can do this. And then there's a self-sufficiency. Well, I can handle it without God. So I can get there. I don't need to go through that door. I'll do it. All those things can cause us to miss that moment in which God is saying, now. Now the door is open. God's timetable is not necessarily on our own convenience. It is in his time. What matters the most is if we obey him and go when he says go. The wise believers, like hopefully you and I, the wise believers watch the Lord's movements and we close in on him and we respond without hesitation. There's a door that every person, every individual has to open themselves. This is not a door like any other door. It's the door of our own heart, because God gave us a will and the choice. We have a will and a choice whether we will open the door of our heart or not. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door, I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, I'll eat with him and he with me. This is not the door of opportunity. This is not doors of ministry. This is not a door of God's assignment for you. This door is about relationship. It's the door in which Jesus is knocking and saying, if you open it up, if you open your heart, I'll have fellowship with you. I'll come near with you. I'll sit at your table. I'll dine with you. I'll come in your home. God's unlocked that door, but you have to open it. At the beginning of the message, we started to tell you the stories about doors. About doors, I told you about the doors we face, and I didn't tell you all the details of all of them, but doors that blocked us out, doors that welcomed us, doors that made us pause a little, doors that made it hard to get in the bathroom when we needed to get in the bathroom. There were a lot of kind of crazy things going on then. And every time we went to a new place, we told the people about the door problem we just had. And then come to find out we have another door problem in front of us. And then people started to say they didn't want to travel with us because... But those doors began to realize we started to see something that God is saying, you know, there are doors that are almost open that you need to press into the Lord a little bit more and he'll open it more. There are doors that you think I can't get it open. I'm trying so hard. And someone else came along and said, oh, I can do that, and pushed the code and it opened up. Because we needed someone else to help us open the door. There are doors in our life like that where we need another brother and sister. We might need a whole team of people to come around us to help open the door for us. And God sends them. They're messengers of God to open doors for us. There's doors in which we look at them and say, this is uncomfortable. I would like to go through there. But if I push too hard, I'm going to break the door. And God gives wisdom to know how to open that door without breaking it. Because we're listening to him. Discerning which doors stand before us, that's the difficult thing. But we've got to just keep asking the Lord. Which ones are meant to walk through now? That requires a blend of some spiritual checks and balances and a lot of prayer. But there's no single method for discerning that, I think. God just gives us multiple ways to recognize his direction and say, that door is for now, and you can go through there, but here's how I want you to get through it. We need all that information in it. On a personal level, we can evaluate the openness of a door sometimes by the acceptance or the fruitfulness that we're experiencing already, just beginning to do something. That's a personal thing. We can look for the presence of the Lord moving ahead of us through the doorway. We can see that the Holy Spirit is moving there. Then we know we can keep going with him through there. We can also test in our own heart, do we have peace in this? Is this God's will because we have peace that this is God's will? Or are we creating our own way now? Is there a value in the kingdom for this door right now that God wants me to go through? Is there a spiritual movement that God's calling us to? Is it a priority right now that God wants for us in our life? And that door becomes more priority than any other door then. And we get aligned with the will of God. But, you know, there's two factors that seems to rise above here about these doors. Our fellowship with the Lord that keeps our hearts sensitive and it keeps our motives pure. We need to stay close to the Lord to see which doors he wants us to go through, which ones are for now, which ones do we need to pray more about. We need to stay in fellowship with him. And then the counsel of godly people around us, as we share what God seems to be saying to us, that we can hear what God is saying also through our brothers and sisters. Because sometimes we are not seeing the whole picture, and we need somebody to come and help us to open that door because we don't see it clearly yet. So we're getting better equipped by the people around us who God sends us, and they become the partners with us as we go into a new ministry or a new calling that God's giving to us. That goal is not simply just to find open doors. We can look around and find open doors. That's not the goal. It's not just, where's the door? Where's the door? That's not the goal. The goal is to walk through the right door at the right time that God is leading us through. That's the goal. Following the Holy Spirit and obeying him. Those kind of things leads us to a deeper relationship in the Lord, because we say, I don't really know it all, do I? I need to hear what the Spirit is saying. Leads us into a deeper connection with God, saying, God, is this door right? Because I don't want to go through a door that's not for now. I don't want to go through the door that's a mistake for me. But I also don't want to miss it. I don't want the door to close before I can get through it. If God, you're calling me to go there, I want to go when you say go. And I need my brothers and sisters to help me to understand sometimes this door is closing. And sometimes your brother or sister comes to you and says, what are you waiting on? You know, because you've shared the idea with somebody and say, well, now what are you waiting on? Well, I want to make sure it's God. This is God. And others start coming. You get prophetic words. You get words from the scriptures. You get people coming, reading you scripture verses. And God starts to say from all the people around you, go through the door. Doors are all in the scriptures, and they communicate something to us. They communicate that there's opportunities and there's plans that God has for us. And every one of you has experiences that there were doors and times you had to go through them. Right now, some of you have doors in front of you. There's doors that are almost open or they are open, and you have a decision to make. And those doors represent the will of God and the plan of God for you right now. They're not God's plan later. They're about what he wants to do now. And the doors that are in front of you, it's now time for you to decide, go through it. It's time for you to make a move. You take a step, and it's like Paul says, faith. God gives us faith for this. So take the faith and take a step, because there's a door that when you go through it, your faith increases and increases and increases, and you see God do miracles because you went through the door. Some of you are at those doors, and you know they're right in front of you, and you have seen already inside through the door a little bit, but you haven't seen enough yet to fully convince you, but you have a pretty strong inkling that God's saying, go through the door. Now, if you know that's you know right now in your heart, God has a door in front of you, I want you to stand where you are and say, there's a door for me. I know it. You don't have to know everything about it, but I want you to stand up right where you are and say, I know there's a door. I know there's a door. I have to go through it, but I don't fully understand it yet. We have someone standing. Is there anyone else? Because I want to pray about that for you. This is a personal thing that God's giving to you, that you said, yes, that door is in front of me. I can see a little bit through it. I don't see it all, but there's a door in front of you, and you know God is saying something about it. But now it's a time of your decision. A couple more stood up. Anyone else? We're going to pray for them. There's a lot of doors in the room here, but I need you to understand it's your door too. So anyone else? There's a door that's opening. You know it's opening, and you have to make a decision now. Am I going to go through it? Am I going to go through it? Okay? You ready to pray? All right. The rest of you join me as I pray now for these who are standing. Lord, we pray for these ones who are standing, that the will of God be made clear, even brighter. Lord, let the light on the other side of that door begin to be brighter and brighter, that the territory behind that door becomes even clearer and brighter, and that the wisdom of God is now coming to each of these individuals, and not only to understand that God's calling them, but to even get a bit more sense of the purpose of that door and the purpose of this call. Lord, I'm asking you now to begin to open the door wider as they now in their hearts are choosing to go through the door. Lord, make it clear to them. May there be a plan that is revealed in this time, and that the door's opening wide enough that they can see even more. And Lord, right now, help them who are standing in their heart to agree with you and say, yes, I will go through that door. I will go through that door. I don't want to miss the timing. I don't want that door to close. I want this opportunity to be mine, and I'm going through it so that I can fulfill what God, you have planned for this, and whatever way you want to use me, however you want me to be active in that way, that you're going to take me through the door, and we're going to see God do miracles now in these different situations. Lord, bless them as the door's opening wider now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I talked about corporate doors, and I'm going to end on this one. Corporate doors has to do with doors that are opening for a church, for a group of people like this. So I'm going to suggest that here this morning, before I came, even this week, I knew that God was opening something for you as a church. Is this being recorded? Is it? Yeah, because I want Pastor Joel to hear it too. So I saw that the doors opening for the church here. There's something opening. I just kept feeling like God was pushing on something that's opening it up. And I saw not just like a normal door, but it was almost like it was big double doors, like you know, big French doors, only huge ones, being pushed open so that they opened wide. The movement now is now that you say, God, where are you taking us? But we don't want to miss it. We want to go with you. And there's something that God is doing now for you as a church, that he's opening up a way, and he's allowing you to stretch and grow and get expand and get into, feels like more territory. You're getting into more territory. You're getting into something that's bigger than what you are right now. You're touching into areas that you haven't been touching. You're going to help people that you haven't been helping yet. There's an expansion that's happening, and then there's an openness that's coming there, and it's almost like the doors opening is not just doors, but behind the doors is like the whole territory is getting bigger and bigger and bigger behind that, almost like church walls being pushed out further and things like that. So whatever God is saying, I pray that you pray about it and that you really seek the Lord about that, that whatever he's saying, I'm going to open, that you step into it, beginning with prayer. Say, God, what door is it? What's opening for us? Where are we going? And pray for your elders and the leaders to also discern that they hear what God is saying, because there's a movement that God is taking you on right now. It's opening up for you as you pray into that and ask the Lord what he's doing. And I thank you for opportunity to come and be with you today, and thank you for your care for us and our ministry. And is it Ben coming next week? Yeah, so I warmed the pulpit for him. You can tell him, you can tell Ben that. I thank God for people like Ben and others who are going out and they're bringing, you know, the presence of God in places with them. And I want to bless what he's doing, bless what you're doing, and thank God for his work in this world that we live in today. Let's stand together.